It's August 9th, and I am talking with Powell Graham at the Grand Ron Retirement Residence. All right. Okay, the first thing I'm going to ask is for you to say your full name for us.
I don't use the Cyrus, but it's Cyrus Powell Graham.
And when were you born, and where were you born?
Milton Freewater, and the Freewater portion that wasn't combined then. Mm-hmm. And April 25th, 1990.
Uh-huh. And were your parents had been living in Milton Freewater for quite a while? Or?
Yes, they were farmers. I was the fourth of four boys.
Uh-huh. And when did you move to LeGrand?
I came to college there in 1937.
Uh-huh.
And played football.
Can you talk a little bit about your experiences at, was it the normal school at that time?
It was normal school.
Yes. Can you talk about some of your experiences of going to Eastern Normal School, right? Eastern Oregon Normal School. Right. Can you talk about some of your experiences?
Well,
do you remember?
I got a letter from Bob Quinn before the starting of football, and all he said was, you did all right in football last year, and if you can come over and make the team, I'll give you a day or two tuition and find you a room that you can work your room out. And NYA job for $15 a month.
Now,
this was in 1937.
Had he seen you play football?
No, he hadn't seen me play.
Oh, so how did he know he wanted you?
He read the reports.
Oh.
Paper.
And what position were you playing on the team?
The first year I substituted for every position in the backfield. In the second year, I was quarterback.
Can you describe what it was like to be a brand new person at the normal school as a football player?
Well, there wasn't many students then. 187, I think. And so it was no big change from a high school, except the football players were bigger.
Uh-huh. Well, when you first got to Eastern, where did you stay?
I stayed at Mrs. Millen. She had a tree nursery at 11th and J.
Is that M-I-L-L-E-N, Millen?
N-E.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
And what was the tree nursery?
They raised trees to sell.
Oh.
All kinds of them. And coming from a fruit farm, that was right down my alley.
What were your jobs there?
Prune and was hoeing and that to hoe all of the weeds out.
Do you remember what kinds of trees they were?
I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
All kinds of decorative trees.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And did they sell the trees in the valley, or?
Sold them to homes. decorations in front of the homes.
Mm-hmm. And how did they transport the trees to the homes?
The buyer came there and bought the trees, transported himself.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. And so you got a job at the place that you were living.
Yes.
Lived there too? So what was your schedule of work there? Did you get up early in the morning?
Any time I could.
Uh-huh. And who got you that job?
Bob Quinn.
Oh, so he found
the
you.
The coach.
So he found you a job and a place to stay. So describe some of your early experiences at the school. What kinds of classes were you taking?
I was taking mainly science and German and just science and German classes. And world lit, you were required to take some courses.
Do you remember anything about those courses?
No, only the last year I was in plays. I spent most of the time, spring term, going over eastern Oregon and southern Oregon to recruit students.
Oh.
In plays.
Uh-huh. So you act in plays?
Yeah.
So you were a football player and an actor. Do you remember some of the plays that you were in?
No, I don't.
What was it? Can you describe your experiences of being a football player at that time? What kind of training regimen that you had?
Well, Bob Quinn always had us run 100 yards after we finished practice, and it was tough. I weighed 145 pounds, dripping wet, and all the big kids, big men, really, they were all a couple years older than I was, 3 or 4.
What do you remember about the games? Do you remember any particular games that stood
out? Well, the first game, I happened to be safety on defense, and we had a poor team as our opponents, and I ran back 4 punts for touchdowns. I remember that, and the paper the next Monday morning had Graham Thrills Crowd.
Uh-huh. What did you wear? I know it was probably different from what football players wear.
Oh, the helmets were just leather helmets. Just a cap, really, made out of leather. And other than that, we had the same attire they use now.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, what kind of coach was Coach Quinn?
Very good.
Why do you say that?
Well, I would have not go to college if it hadn't been for him. And he was a good coach.
So what was his coaching style like? Was he
anything to win the game.
Oh.
You had, back then we played double wing, single wing, T formation. We had plays for either, all of them.
And how would you learn that? How would he teach you that, those plays?
Just by practice.
Where did you practice?
Up at the college.
Uh-huh. Did you have a specific field that was used just for football, or is it the same field that...
We played all our games on the high school field.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a practice field, though, about where it is now.
What else do you remember about being a football player at that time?
Very little.
Do you remember any of the players that you played with?
Bill Thomas, Ron Walk, Doug Drager, Virgil Horn, Mel Olson, and from here there was Bill Bonenkamp. That's about all.
And this was 1937 team?
37 and 38.
Uh-huh. So what were the crowds like? What kinds of people? Did the whole town come? Or did you have good
Mostly,
crowds?
Mostly. Uh-huh. We had good crowds.
Did you travel?
Yes. We went to Boise State, Walla Walla, to Whitman, and Napa or Caldwell, to Northwest Nazarene, and that's about all.
Do you remember any specific games that were unusual or exciting for you, or horrible?
I remember one time I was safety in the back half of, under a punt, backed away from it instead of catching it. And when the play was over, the whistle blew and I called. Quinn called me out of the game and I sat on the bench all the rest of the game.
Were the referees from this area? Or did they bring referees?
No, they brought them in.
Could you tell me the difference between games that were played then and now?
Well, then, if you went out in a quarter, you couldn't come back in. And they have not free substitution. Only one player could go in at a time. And he couldn't go to the huddle, give a play. That's the main difference.
How many people were on your team?
11. We carried 11 played at once. Same as now. Only we carried 35 on the team, I think.
So if someone got hurt, there were people coming in?
Yeah, hurt. Replacement.
Do you remember anyone getting hurt?
Not severely, no.
That's good. Anything else that you remember about playing football? What did you like about it?
It gave me a means to go to college. I had a job for 25 cents an hour over the winter if I didn't go to college.
And what would that have been?
In a fruit warehouse.
Oh, is that where you worked before you came to college?
No, I worked on a farm.
So it gave you a means to come and...
Yes. It was in the Depression.
Can you describe what it was like, what LeGrand might have looked like when you first got...
Very similar to now. There was Le Grand Hotel, where the new building is on 4th and Adams, across from the bank. There was Safeway, or Le Grand Hotel, and it was a beautiful hotel, but it had been ruined, and so they tore it down and put a Safeway store in.
Going back to your to football days, because this is a very historical information for a child wanted to find out what football was like, you know, what it was, football, how football was different then than it is now.
Mainly the substitution rules.
Do you think it was that you played harder?
Oh yes, individual played harder because he had to play defense and offense. Had to know the plays and defense and offense.
What were the locker room discussions with Mr. Quinn? Dr. Quinn or Mr. Quinn? Mr. Quinn.
Yes.
Was he a tough coach? Was he yell scream, or was he a quieter coach?
Very quiet. He didn't yell and scream at you at all. No, he is a good coach.
So what happened? So you went to college in 37 and 38?
Yes.
Then what happened?
I went to a pharmacy school, private pharmacy school in Portland. And the last year, the state system bought it out. So I graduated from Oregon State.
So you...
School of Pharmacy.
So the 2 years that you spent at Eastern gave you the credits you needed to transfer?
Yes.
Anything else you want to talk about in terms of going to Eastern Normal School that you remember?
No, it was then the only buildings was Ackerman School, the main administration building. And the gym was all that was at Eastern Oregon.
What kind of equipment did you work out? You know, I'm assuming that you had gym facilities to strengthen.
Not exercise facility.
What did you use to build up your strength for playing football?
Practice.
So you didn't have weights to lift?
No.
Or any of that? So what kind of exercises did he have you do to build up your strength?
Just practice football. No exercises. Oh, we push-ups and stuff that didn't require equipment.
Jump rope?
What?
Did you jump rope?
Nope.
How long was your practice?
As I remember, about an hour and a half a day.
Did you have a spring football also?
No.
So it was just in the fall?
Yes.
And when did you start? Did you start before school? And
about 2 weeks before school.
Did you have to keep a certain grade point average?
No.
So you just play no matter what?
Uh-huh.
What about weather?
Well, I played in snow and ice, rain, but the snow, when it melted in the daytime, was the worst.
Yeah. Why was that?
It formed ice, it got colder, and sliding on ice is not fun.
So who was the toughest team you ever played?
I don't know. Probably Boise State.
Did you have cheerleaders?
No.
No cheerleaders?
No. I don't remember any.
Okay, so you went to Portland. When did you come back to LaGrange?
I came back on graduation from Oregon State, and I planned on working in Walla Walla. I had a job there, but this was the home of my wife, and we came back here. Mr. Roberts, policeman drug, needed a pharmacist.
Okay,
so I went right to work.
Okay, and what was the name of the drugstore?
Leisman.
Leisman. Is that L-E-E-S-M-A-N?
L-E-I... I don't know where the I was.
Okay.
S-M-A-N.
Uh-huh. And what was the name of your wife?
At that time, Marjorie Burney.
Uh-huh. And did you meet her when you were in college?
No, I'm at a Christian church summer school.
Was this during the time you were going to college?
No, high school.
Oh, you met in Milk Free Water.
No, it was at Willow Lake.
Oh. And her name was Purdy, P-E-R-D-Y?
P-U-R-D-Y.
Purdy. Uh-huh. Right. And so were you married when you went to Portland?
No. We were married last year of college.
So in
38?
9. 39.
40.
Uh-huh. 40. Uh-huh. And where did she live? Did she live in
LaGrange?
Were her parents from LaGrange as well?
Yes, they had lived in LaGrange a long time and run Purdy's Dutch Shop, which was an ice cream plant, really.
Where was that?
On the triangle across from Ten Depot.
So it was called Purdy's Dutch Shop?
Yes.
And what was inside Purdy's Dutch Shop?
It was a windmill construction and had a big propeller or windmill up. And basically an ice cream plant. And that's all you can see.
Uh-huh. Were there stools for people to come and sit, or did you just go buy your ice cream inside?
They might have had one or two tables, but you bought the ice cream. He made specialties for weddings and anniversaries and such.
So do you remember going in there when you were in college to get ice cream?
Oh, yes.
And would you get cones, or would you buy the box, or what?
You'd get cones, and they're usually dipped in caramel or chocolate.
So vanilla is the only flavor, or were there other flavors?
No, they had lots of flavors.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite?
Huckleberry.
Oh. Where did they get their cream and milk?
Out of Spokane, I think.
And do they make the ice cream there in the store?
They make it right there.
Huh. Do you know how they made it?
With a freezer.
Uh-huh.
And 2.5-gallon freezer. He'd make some days 100 gallons of ice cream. There was no other major ice cream in La Grande.
All over the place, or was it mostly in the Grand?
No, only the Grand.
And how'd you meet? How'd you meet your wife?
At the church school.
At the church school at Willow Lake?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, so you came back from Portland, and you went to the drugstore, and you were a pharmacist?
Yes.
Can you talk about a little bit about your first days as a pharmacist in La Grande?
Well, I don't remember the first day too clearly. We had a doctor and used ointments and powders and pills that were not already made up, and you have to make them.
Oh.
Dr. Richardson.
Richardson?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you have to make up the so did you order the supplies and then?
Yes.
Huh. Did other doctors do that, or was he the only one?
Oh, practically all prescriptions you had to make.
So describe the process that you would use to make something for an illness. I mean, what kinds of things would you put together to make?
It depended on the illness.
Uh-huh. Can you give me an example?
Well, as Dr. Gregory always had a tonic that he made, which had four ingredients: tincture of belladonna, and he would change the excipient, the QSE, or quantity sufficient, the bulk of it. He used the essence of Pepsin, or I can't think of the red one right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was much different than now.
Mm-hmm. Where did you order your supplies?
Out of Portland.
So would you know what to order, or would the doctors order it, or would you have it?
You had to have the supplies on hand. you, daughter. Out of Portland.
So that the doctors would write the prescriptions, and then you would put together whatever.
Just like now, only you made the prescription.
That must have been, you would have had to know quite a bit about what you were doing.
Yes.
Much more so than just putting pills in bottles. What other duties did you have as a pharmacist?
All run of the store. Mr. Roberts, I only worked there about 6 months, and you wanted to sell me half interest, and so I put myself on the dotted line for half interest. And then I was had to go to World War II right after that.
So you only worked for 6 months before you had to leave?
Yes. But in the agreement, my wife had to stay and work for me to keep my...
You went to war and she had to work in the drugstore?
Yes.
What did she do in the drugstore?
She sold... kept books and everything.
Where was the drugstore located?
Where the Hallmark store is now.
Oh, McLaughlin's now.
Yes.
And it was called Neeson's.
It was called
Leeson's, I'm sorry.
Leeson's.
Okay.
Until 1947. When I bought it outright. And when I came home from the service, Mr. Roberts said, I'm tired working. You've got to buy it. So I bought it outright, changed it to Grimm's Drug Center.
So how long were you gone?
About 2.5 years.
Was Mr. Roberts the primary pharmacist while you were gone?
Yes. I had to hire a pharmacist to pay him out of my hat for the store.
Who did you hire?
Clay Reinhart, an old-time pharmacist right here.
While you were gone, did pharmacy change much?
No, not much. Nothing happened but the war.
Yeah. What were some of the most popular remedies for, say, a cold or at that time? Were there certain?
They really didn't have anything. There was nothing. In fact, penicillin had just been invented. And not penicillin, sulfa drugs. Sulfathiazole.
How were those given to patients? Was it in a pill or was it in
a... In a pill.
Were there other things that in the early days, before you went to the war, were there things that people wanted for certain kinds of illnesses?
They didn't know any better. They just had tonics and cold preparations, but they were just fake ingredients, usually.
Placebos?
No, not placebos. Well, a tonic, one of the tonics had a call. Had wine as the excipient to build up the volume.
Wine?
Wine, port wine. all we had then. And there was one preparation, a tonic that was called beef, iron, and wine.
Beef, iron, and wine?
Beef, iron,
oh, beef, and iron,
wine.
Uh-huh. What was that for?
Tonic, just to make you feel better.
And it had beef, iron, and wine in it?
Yes.
Did it make you feel better?
Yes.
So it had enough stuff in it to get you going.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember any of the other tonics that were popular at that time?
Well, Hadacol. Which, according to the label, would cure anything. Carter's little liver pills was a laxative. I can't remember too many.
So do you remember the doctors that were?
Oh yes, Dr. Gregory, Dr. Hahn, Dr. Branner, Dr. Ross, Richardson, and that was about all in the early days.
Uh-huh. Well, as a pharmacist, what were the differences between those doctors?
Lots of differences.
Yeah.
Richardson used nothing but extracts. The people now think these extracts are freak. What do I want to say? New thing. But we used them back then. I had the biggest supply of extracts in Eastern Oregon.
What about the other doctors? Did they have favorites as well?
No. They mostly made up the prescription to fit the need.
Were there any epidemics that went through LeGrand that you were having to fulfill prescriptions for?
Just flu, and we gave polio shots to the public when they were made available.
Mm-hmm. So people would just line up and come into the store?
Usually had a clinic on a Sunday or a Saturday at one of the schools, and people would come in there and line up.
And you would provide the penicillin or whatever you were giving them?
Was handled all by a committee.
Really? What do you mean?
I don't know how to describe it, but the supply was always there when a doctor, nurse, and I would go out.
So a committee would order it? Have it on hand?
Somebody would.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who.
Uh-huh.
The Polio Association.
Oh, they might send it out and you helped.
Yeah.
Did you administer it, or were you just getting the medication ready?
We administered it. The first time was on a little cracker.
Oh, really?
We put it on a dose on a cracker. Cracker doesn't seem right, but it was on a something like that.
Uh-huh. And that was a polio vaccine?
Yes.
And when was that? Do you know?
No, I don't.
When you came back from the war and you changed the name of the drug center. How did you change the drug center from what it was before?
Just changed it.
Mm-hmm. Did it have basically the same things? Did you add more to it? Or?
I added a lot of stuff over the years. Uh-huh. A lot of lines of specialty lines. Hallmark cards. I remodeled in 1960.
Is that when you brought the Hallmark cards and things like that?
No, I had them before.
What made you decide to bring in Hallmark cards along with the pharmacy?
It was available and they brought in the racks. Boy, it's getting hot in here.
Oh, let's stop for a second. Okay, we were talking about the differences that you were making to the drugstore when you came back from the war.
I completely remodeled in 1960. And we had such lines as Dorothy Gray. You're probably not familiar with it. Complete line of cosmetics. And permanent wave solutions.
Was your wife still working at the drugstore with you? Did she order?
She worked all the time.
Did she order the supplies?
No, I ordered it.
So you decided what you thought people needed? And
yep. With the help of the salesman.
So what made you decide to order makeup and hair supplies?
Just demand.
So you could get a lot of different things at your store.
Yes.
What other kinds of things did you have besides the cards and things, the cosmetics?
We had cameras. I had the biggest camera department in Eastern Oregon. I sold 16-millimeter sound projectors to the schools and everything in cameras. It sure changed.
So but through the 50s it changed quite a bit?
No. Really, since I was out, digital cameras.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's quite a bit different now, isn't it? It doesn't have as much variety right now. So what was your wife's job in the pharmacy? What was her job?
Anything and everything.
Including what?
Including selling, and bookwork. She did mostly book work.
Did you sell the cameras and as well as do the pharmacy?
Yes.
So did you also employ other people in the store?
Oh, yes. I had a fountain and I had four girls on the fountain at different times.
This was a soda fountain?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. And what did you sell in the soda fountain?
Anything. Ice cream. We had lunches, sandwiches. We didn't cook a thing there, except a hot meat sandwich, which was a particular choice of most everyone.
How would you prepare a hot meat sandwich?
I don't know. The girls did.
And did they have stools to sit on?
We had 14 stools and two booths.
When did you put the fountain in? Or was it already
in? It was already in.
Oh, okay. So when before you left for the war, that the fountain was already part of the drugstore?
Yes.
So you had a whole lot of different kinds of things going on.
Oh, yes. Very busy store.
Yeah. Now, I've heard that your store was a place that people went to talk about things.
It was at the fountain.
Uh-huh. What kinds of things were people talking about?
I don't know. I was busy in the store.
Uh-huh. I heard it was a place where just everything was talked about. And people would come and...
I opened up an hour early just for men to come in. Kibitz.
What would they be kibitzing about?
Everything.
Like, such as?
The football scores or the basketball and basketball scene. Coach Archie Dunsmore, who was the football coach after Bob Quinn, used to come down all the time. Ron Walk, the principal of the high school, used to come.
What time would they be coming in? What time would you open?
8 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh. And this was just kind of a men's social gathering?
Yes.
Kind of thing? Uh-huh. No women?
Very seldom.
Uh-huh. This is men's hour, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did they talk about politics?
Very seldom.
Uh-huh. So they talked about things that were happening in the town.
Yes.
Did you get involved in the discussions, or were you too busy?
Very seldom.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It sounds like it was a place to be, the town hub kind of thing.
It was. But the fountain was busy all day.
Did you offer specials?
Very seldom.
So did you have certain waves of people that the kids come in after school, get sodas and...
Yes. We had the men in the morning, and then the women would meet there to go to the shop or something else. And then we had a big noon crowd. Last to 1:30, and the students would come in.
And then what time did you close?
Closed at 8 o'clock.
So from 8 in the morning to 8 o'clock in the evening?
Yes.
That's a long day.
It is.
How did you survive it?
I don't know.
How did pharmacy change as you went into from the 40s and 50s into the 60s and 70s?
Well, the 70s, the computer had just come out, and I was on the state board at that time.
The state board of pharmacology?
Of pharmacy.
Uh-huh.
We had to learn computers to be able to check up on the pharmacists. And a few of the pharmacists just... The original computer, about a 6 month supply, was all that. They were online to a bank in Portland, and about a 6 month supply was all that it could take, and they'd erase it all and start over. And we couldn't have that as a state board because we couldn't have destroying the records. So we made them have a hard copy. But computers completely changed the situation in pharmacy. Now the computers will automatically draw up the last 10 or so prescriptions and tell you if there's any compatibilities, which the pharmacist before had to remember all that.
So in a sense it's easier.
Yes. And everything's prepared. You don't have to prepare anything.
Now, how long, when did you stop working at the pharmacy?
Actually, I stopped. I sold my store in 69. But I went on doing relief work for about another 10 years. Then I had severe heart problems and had to quit that.
So at the time that your pharmacy was real busy, and how were you able to do the pharmacy and run that big operation?
It was necessary, and so you had to do it.
Uh-huh. So when people came in to get their prescriptions, did they have to wait, or did they call their prescription in? How did that work?
You filled them immediately. And if it was one you had to prepare, you come back and pick it up.
Did you have an assistant?
Oh, yes. Always.
Yeah. And were these people that were trained, or were they people that you trained?
The pharmacists.
Oh, so were they people that were going to college? Or?
No, pharmacists.
Oh, so you had...
already graduated.
Oh, okay. So you had another pharmacist besides yourself. Uh-huh. So how many did you have working usually?
I had a clinic pharmacy, and I had one up there all the time, and one later on. No, I had one downtown all the time.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean a clinic pharmacy?
In the Le Grand Clinic.
Oh, you had. Oh, okay.
Had a pharmacy in there.
Oh, so you ran both of those pharmacies.
And the hospital.
Oh, my God. You ran three pharmacies?
Yes, and one in Pendleton. I was in partnership in Pendleton.
My God. You were a busy man, weren't you?
Yep.
What were the differences between the pharmacies, or were they all similar?
Well, the clinic pharmacy was just prescriptions. That was all. Of course, the hospital was prescriptions and intravenous solutions, and which I stored in the bottom of the pharmacy downtown.
Oh, and then you just dry them up?
Yes. Bandages, sponges, everything for operations. It was entirely different.
Yeah. So you had to order supplies for 3 or 4 places?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And how would you know how much to order?
You just went by the seat of your pants. You hoped you ordered correctly.
Did you order almost everything from Portland, or?
Portland and Boise.
Uh-huh. And were a lot of the things refrigerated that came in?
No, very seldom.
So solutions and things were not refrigerated?
No.
So did you order plasma, blood, and all of that? Or
no. They ordered all blood. But they did mostly, at that time, they did mostly live transfers.
So, but you ordered the IVs and all of that?
Yes.
Wow. That's a huge operation.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. So, how did you, okay, this is a stupid question, but how did you read the doctor's handwriting?
As far as I'm concerned, most of the handwriting is in a foreign language. In other words, there are terms that you're not familiar with, but the pharmacist is. So they're easy to make out, especially when you had a limited number of doctors.
So you had, when you, especially when you were starting out, you probably knew each person's handwriting pretty well.
You gained that knowledge quickly.
So if you couldn't read something, you'd just call and ask them?
Call them and ask them.
Did you have good relationships with the doctors?
Yes, very good.
Now, were you the only pharmacy in the Grand for?
Oh, no, there were six pharmacists.
Really?
Pharmacies.
Huh.
Moon, Red Cross, Glass, Wright's, my own, and Bayless.
What made yours different from everybody else's?
Mainly the fountain and the stock that it carried. I had a complete pharmacy downstairs. In other words, I had the backup supply because you needed it then. We didn't have overnight service from Portland, which they do now.
Neighborly. decide to do that, to open that up?
I don't know.
Would the mayor come in too, or were there other dignitaries that would come in the morning and have discussions?
Very seldom did anyone from the city come in.
So mostly good friends of yours, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Talking sports.
Mainly.
So what were the businesses near you downtown at that time?
Where the new building went up, right beside us was Fox ID store, and they was later called ID store. It was a mercantile. Right beside it was a men's shop. It was practically part of the store, but differently ran.
You mean from the Fox store? And
Fox.
Fox.
F-A-L-K-S.
And what did they sell in Fox?
Everything in the mercantile line.
Mm-hmm. Clothing, that kind of thing? Or?
Women's clothing. Yardage. Everything like that. And on the other side, I had a surplus store.